Hi, this is Chip Brim, and this is the voice of One Witness Radio broadcast with Dr. Billy Brim. Today you'll be hearing from Billy Brim's classic message series entitled Holiness. As you listen to these teachings, you will learn how to discipline the flesh, live according to the Spirit, separate yourself more into God to become endued with power, and become holy as He is holy. So grab your Bible and enjoy today's message.
And they reveal the plan of God, and Sarah laughed, and they said, verse 14, is anything too hard for God? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And then they got up to go, verse 16. And the angelic visitors, the men, it calls them here, rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. He started walking down the path with them. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. To do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And Jehovah said, now he's telling Abraham why he's here, and this is what the Lord reminded us of that night at the convention. And Jehovah said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. Something about that sound and that evil reached him, and he came to get the facts down into this realm. And that glorious praise we gave, and I believe it's being given throughout the earth by the church, is reaching him. And he sent down one of the living creatures to check on it, bless the Lord. And I believe a good report was returned to him. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Verse 22. And the men turned their faces from thence, and they went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before Jehovah. And Abraham drew near. He stood before the Lord. The men went down the road, and he drew near to God. And he begins an intercession for the people who are about to know judgment. And he says to the Lord, verse 23, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there shall be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked? That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And we see a wonderful example here of standing before the Lord in intercession for those people who are about to know judgment. And every time that Abraham pressed, God gave him what he pressed for. He stopped pressing at 10 because I'm sure he thought there would be at least 10 righteous. Verse 32, he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left, communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. And we know that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And let's go on down to the next chapter in verse 27. Abraham's looking out from his place and he sees it, the smoke of it. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, the place where he'd stood in his intercession. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And he knew God hadn't been able to find 10 righteous people. But he did get out those who were in covenant with him. He got out Lot and his wife and Lot's daughters. But the wife didn't go far. Look at verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I think it was a Thursday evening at home, they broadcast Billy Graham from Toronto. Did any of you listen to that? Wasn't that wonderful? And Billy Graham said tonight, he said, I'm going to give you for my text the second shortest verse in the Bible. And I thought, well, what is that, you know? And he gave Luke 17:32, which is, I can quote it, just got three words. Remember Lot's wife. And he said, the Lord told us, specifically told mankind, remember Lot's wife. Now, Lot's wife, she lived in the most evil place on earth. She was a Canaanite. They had the most evil religion, but she could have gotten out of there had she obeyed the Lord. But she looked back on that world, and she turned to a pillar of salt and lost her redemption. And he was telling to those people, Billy Graham was, he's saying, everybody knows something's going on. He said, I'm being contacted now by professors, by heads of universities. I'm being contacted by the leaders of the world, contacting Billy Graham. And they are asking me, is the world about to end? Is it over? They can see things are out of control. They used to be able to have some answers, politicians. Nobody's got any answers anymore. And the things beginning to get worse. It says, evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. It says the dark will grow darker. And so it's what they're doing, they're rushing toward the fullness of sin. And when the fullness of sin comes, then God's judgments will come. And thank God, clean it all up. Hallelujah, blessed be the Lamb of God. But before judgment, there is mercy. And so God calls out in mercy in this last great revival. And that's what we're about. Speaking mercy, praying for mercy. Standing in the gap. Standing for the Lord. I was talking to Shelley about it just between the meetings here. Who knows what would have happened if Stephen hadn't said, as they were stoning him, Father, forgive them. For Paul was out there holding the clothes of the people that stoned them, Saul of Tarsus. But he prayed. Stephen prayed. Hallelujah. And the Lord spoke to me about the church's part in the middle of the nighttime. He spoke to me about the church's part in what we're coming up to now. He said, he reminded me of those who stand before him. And he reminded me that Abraham stood before the Lord, number one, to intercede for those upon whom judgment was about to come. And Abraham received, and we are, the church is to be before God and with God, stand before him for the plan of God. Now, standing before is something that we miss in our Western society. We hardly know what it means to stand before. And I want you to look at Jeremiah just for a little light from the scriptures. There are many, many scriptures. You can see this if you look up those who stood before kings and things, and you'll get a better picture of what it means if you just read through the Bible. Lots of places, Easterners always had kings, and then they had those who stood before the king. You see, these living creatures stand before God. They stand right there in his presence. They never leave there. Well, they can go and come, but that's their position. They're not taking another job somewhere. That is their job. They are standing before the throne. We had a visitor from one who stands before the throne. But we see also that Abraham stood before. They're on the earth. And so the church also, like the living creatures, we are in a place of standing before. That's what we're called for. Hallelujah. I know you're not getting all this, but your spirit will be inspired. Hallelujah. When you have something like this, it comes like a prophetic nature to it, and it will, the ministry of a prophet is inspirational, and the ministry of a teacher would be like educational. And so when you minister some things like this, it will inspire you. It might just touch something and you go, you know. You might not understand it all, but you got inspired, bless the Lord. And so I'm going to say a few things about standing before, and you may not get this all, but you'll be inspired. Hallelujah. So here we go. Let's look at Joshua. Jeremiah. I turned to Joshua. That's why I said Joshua. Jeremiah and chapter 35, verse 18. The people of Israel had disobeyed God, and they were going to know judgment. But there was one family that had really obeyed God, and he's going to give them a big reward for obeying God. Jeremiah 35:18. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rehobites, Thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, Because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rahab. Now here's the big thing you're going to get for obeying me. This might not sound so big to you. You might rather have an oil well. But this is what they're going to get. It's much bigger. There shall not want of that household a man to stand before me forever. It's a big deal to have a place before God. It's a big deal to be recognized as one who stands before God. I'd rather have that than anything. Bless the Lord. And we've got that in the church. Now you can see the honor of it in Jeremiah 15. Turn to Jeremiah 15 and verse 1. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied to Israel when they were backsliding and about to go into captivity. And this is a telling verse here, Jeremiah 15, 1. Then said Jehovah unto me, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Even if Moses and Samuel, great men already gone on to the bosom of Abraham at this time, but even if they were here and they stood before me for this people, I would not be toward them. I'd still bring judgment. So we see here what it means to have that position of standing before God. Now I'm going to share something with you that I shared in the first service, didn't have time in the second service. Turn to Zechariah chapter 3. Hallelujah. There was a great man of prayer named Philip Halverson. We have him on some of our videos that are for sale, Secrets of Prayer from Los Angeles. Brother Halverson, oh, thank God. I heard Brenda Steen talking about some of the people God brought to us in that first prayer meeting, and then we became close friends with them. John G. Lake's daughter, son-in-law, Brother Halverson, Sister Jeannie Wilkerson, wasn't in that meeting, but other times, and Mama Goodwin and Rachel T. Fatiller. And Brenda Steen said, when you got near them, it was like you got in a spaceship with them. And they took you off up there somewhere where they lived and prayed. And oh, how I did love Brother Halverson. He, I believe, was like the most like Jesus of any person I've ever known in my life. He got so much like Jesus that he was transferred from earth to heaven.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. To order these teachings in their entirety or learn more about Billy Brim Ministries, please log on to www.billybrim.org. That's www.billybrim.org. Or call us at 1-800-972-3447. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. And this is Chip Brim saying, Shalom.